Welcome to a special edition of Sports Talk here on the Big 870. I'd like to tell you we're live here at Rouse's Markets at 4500 Chapatoulas. Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister will join us shortly. Come and shop at Rouse's during our big Labor Day sale here at Rouse's. And they have the wild-caught 16-25-count headless Louisiana shrimp, $5.99 a pound, 5-pound bag, save $5 per bag. So if you need anything, if it's drink-wise, food-wise, for the long Labor Day weekend, come on down to Rouse's. And if you're in the neighborhood, come on by. You can see, talk and get an autograph from Bobby and also Deuce. Bob, before we get into some LSU talk, we'll talk a little bit about Tulane right off the bat. Man, it looked good. And, you know, Sean used to always, I remember on the Monday night show, said, man, you know, a victory is one thing, but I want a little meat left on the bone so I can go at him. There were a few things in the game that kind of went back and forth that he can kind of get on his team about. 52-0 win over Southeastern. But, man, how impressed you got to be with Darian Mensah. I mean, redshirt freshman quarterback. And in the two shows we did with Coach Sumrall for our Tulane Tuesday, he was like he's very poised. Nothing really rattles him, and he said the most impressive thing is when things break down out on the field, he's the coolest cat. He really played well, and I remember a play early in the game, Dante Fleming, he hits him in the end zone, right through his hands, and Dante had really been the star of spring practices, also summer practices, but he dropped that one. He goes back and he makes another throw to get the touchdown. Man, I was impressed with Mensah. It was the first time I really got to see him play, other than, say, maybe some film from high school. Bob, he was really an impressive passer, and he can run with the football if you need him to.
Yeah, no, that was a dominant win over Southeastern. So when you look at the outcome and what occurred, you know, I definitely thought Tulane would beat Southeastern.
But I don't know.
Yeah, no, that was like you know, like the varsity versus the JB when you look at the final score. So, but, you know, I think we need those type games. When you look at Southeastern, you know, playing Tulane, you're going to have Nicholls State after Sunday's matchup with LSU and USC. They're going to play LSU in Tiger Stadium to help their budget. And as far as the athletic department.
And they play Tech tonight, Louisiana Tech.
Yeah, if you look at Nicholls State tonight, and that'll be interesting to see. But you have to have those type games. Now, the main thing is, can you come out healthy? I think that's the main thing when I look at Coach Rebo and everybody, when they're looking at, can we come out healthy? Like, for instance, you look at Louisiana, Nicholls State of Louisiana Tech tonight at 7 in Ruston. You know, in 2009, the last meeting, I think it'd be this kind of game, maybe, but Louisiana Tech, maybe not so much. They're not Louisiana Tech of old. They, in the series, they beat Nicholls State 4-0. They won in 2009, 48-13. And you look at Nicholls as four wins over FBS programs since 2000, with the last coming in 2018. That was a big win, overtime victory at Kansas and Lawrence, Kansas. So if I look at Tech, they're coming off three straight 3-9 seasons. When they had success, I think when they had Skip Holtz, Lou Holtz's son, who's now with the Birmingham Stallions,
he's won three
straight championships. And you know what's crazy about that one? I think names that we're familiar with the Birmingham Stallions in the UFL, the defensive line coach is Bill Johnson, who won a national championship with LSU and then also won a Super Bowl ring with the Saints, and guess who was the defensive coordinator? Chavis. Don't we know that name?
Chief.
Yeah, Chief.
John
Chavis. Big Chief, yeah, from Tennessee and LSU and all that. So it's amazing how you network and what goes around comes around. But Nicholls State of Louisiana Tech tonight at 7 p.m. You look at other local games. You got Southern at McNeese State. Then you got Grambling at UL. You look at Southern at McNeese State. Now McNeese leads that series 3-0. Now to show you how McNeese State football has fallen, a lot like Northwestern, where I went to school in Natchitoches, we just got to get a win somehow. But you look at McNeese, the Cowboys have lost 11 straight games, and are 4-18 on the third-year head coach, Gary Goff. So they'll be interesting to see what's going to come about. And you look at Grambling and Southern. Southern's Terrence Graves will make his Southern coaching debut. Then you look at Grambling at UL.
Mickey.
Mickey Joseph. You look at that, the last meeting, UL won 49-17 in 2018. Now, I don't know, Mike, how they said the point spreads for this, but they got UL a 32.5-point favorite. Like, this is more a comparable game. Like, McNeese is a 3-point favorite over Southern. But you look, it's the third straight season, a lot like LSU. I think we need to do this because if you look besides LSU, then I look at Tulane, and then I kind of put maybe not right behind or right in that realm. You got Louisiana Tech and UL. And can you throw a bone to the local universities? Well, it's the third straight season. UL is open at home against an FCS team from Louisiana. You know, they played Southeastern back in 2022, and they played Northwestern State in 2023. So, Mike, like we said, this is going to mark the debut of Grambling's head coach, Mickey Joseph, and then also the debut of Southern's head coach, Terrence Graves, and what's going to occur. So that's good. I think we're keeping that within the state. Now, the one thing with Grambling caught my attention, their quarterback, Miles Crawley, was selected as the preseason SWAC Offensive Player of the Year. So, you know, you try to look who you can lean upon.
They're going to lean on him.
With Coach Joseph, you definitely would lean on the quarterback, that being Miles Crawley.
Bob, I got to thank Shane Kliebert, who works for Nicholls State. He sent me this. But on the Nicholls State roster today, they have 93 players from the state of Louisiana.
I think it's the most by far. Because you look at the transfer portal and all that.
93 players from the state of Louisiana is on the Nicholls State roster. 17 starters returning. So, Shane, I appreciate you posting that and sending it out to me. But a lot of guys.
Now, and when you compare Nicholls State to Louisiana Tech, it just shows you, if you're cheering for the local product, how can you not be for Nicholls State? Because it is homegrown. For instance, the Bulldogs, Louisiana Tech, they're going to take the field with 50 newcomers, including 30 transfers. So it's a completely different team.
That's a lot of heat there at Tech.
Yeah,
Oh, come on, you have two straight losing seasons. They were used to winning. Skip, his final year there, it wasn't good. And maybe there was a little friction with him and some of the people who cut the checks. You can't pick a fight with them guys.
Now, I think they know LSU's the top banana.
Right.
And then you look at Tulane being the private school. But you look at public universities, who's going to be the number two team that could build upon?
I'd say it's UL.
UL or Louisiana Tech. But Louisiana Tech wants to be, okay, if we're not LSU, we're right behind them. The same thing with UL. Mike, and so that'll be interesting to see how the season is going to unfold for UL and Louisiana Tech, what they're going to do this season.
Yeah, no question about it. And Coach Mike, he's done a good job taking over for Billy Napier. I will say this, man, Billy.
He's on the hot seat.
He maximized the talent, though, with the Raging Cajuns. I mean, you look at all the picks they got. NFL draft picks that he recruited there, did a great job, went to Florida. Bob, you talk about the hottest of seats, and look at that schedule that they have to play late.
Well, it's very similar. You might think it's only one game, but think how monumental. Today, when you look at the Miami Hurricanes and Coach Cristobal versus Napier at Florida, Mike, whichever team doesn't win, that coach is automatically on the hot seat. You know how Dennis Allen's on the hot seat with the Saints? Well, that you have that case at University of Miami, and you also have it with University of Florida. You know, and then the same thing tomorrow night with Coach Riley, Lincoln Riley at USC, and Coach Kelly with LSU. Mike, think how the fan base, how they're going to feel about their prospective teams if you win versus if you lose. All of a sudden, now everyone's discouraged and we're not heading in the right direction. So that's just two monumental games that we're familiar with because Louisiana connections with Coach Napier at Florida playing Cristobal, Florida Gators hosting the Miami Hurricanes, and the same thing on a neutral side in Las Vegas, Coach Riley and the expectations at USC, and Coach Kelly with the expectations of starting the season. Mike, LSU cannot afford to, I mean, I don't know, to me, now you have expanded playoffs, so you still might be able to weather the storm, but you're going to go five straight seasons and you lose the opening game? Now what, this is going back – to Mississippi State? And then who
in 2020?
And then who we lost after that? It was I want to say then we lost a couple of times. Obviously to Florida State, and then I got to look at my notes somewhere. But it's the bottom line is LSU cannot afford to not get it done because you know what defense is going to show up, and this goes about to show you how bad you know the defensive rebuild and where we're at. LSU was tied for 78th among FBS team in points allowed. They're giving up 28 points a game. That's why I think it's going to be a shootout type game, even though you change coaches. And you look at the Trojans, they were even worse than the LSU defense. USC's defense, pass defense, was 101st. They were ranked 116th total defense. LSU was 105. What? This is USC and LSU.
No, triple digits, you bad, but that's really bad.
And they were 118th in score, giving up 34.5 points. And like I said, LSU was 78, giving up 28. Well, they gave up 34.5. So then all of a sudden, you look, Coach Raleigh ended up replacing four of his five defensive assistants. What's going to happen?
Anton Lynn's a good coach. Now, yep. Again, he couldn't bring Latu with him from UCLA, which would have helped.
Yeah,
he was. Man, you saw teams. They were double, triple teaming him because he was so good.
To show you how good he was, you hire your crosstown rival. It'd be like LSU hiring the Tulane defensive coordinator because he was that good. But look at Lynn, Mike from UCLA. His co-defensive coordinator is along with Eric Henderson. But you look even
– and Erickson, New Orleanian.
Oh, see that? Small world, all the Louisiana connections. Then you look at Coach Kelly, I think this is going to be a great hire. Now we got to wait and see what's going to transpire. But he lured Blake Baker from Missouri to be his new D.C. And then he brings in names that we're familiar with to rebuild the staff. He brought back longtime LSU assistant Corey Raymond, I think really helping with recruiting. That when you look at it,
but the real Bo Davis is the big catch.
Yeah,
because you got to win up front.
In the trenches. Yep,
and Bob, they've struggled there the last couple years. And you say you got to win up front. And the big flip is the fact I know Coach O would talk about it. Man, offensive line was probably the one area he didn't really hit on. He
right?
was close with players, but couldn't get them here. Man, you look at Brian, he's flipped it. He's got all these guys coming in, big-time recruits along the offensive line, not so much on the defensive line, and it's been a kind of a total rebuild up front.
Well, it's very similar, USC and LSU. When you look at USC and defensive staffs, if we're going to win anything, even have a chance for the playoffs, our defense has to be relevant. I'm not saying you have to be dominant, but you have to, because Lincoln Riley, they're going to score points. That's one thing. They are going to score points. To me, when you look how things are going to unfold, Mike, I was looking at the point spread. LSU opened a 6-point favorite. Now it's 4.5. It might even be somewhere 3.5. And you look at the over and under, 64.5. I don't know. I think LSU is going to win. I don't know if they'll cover. I'm looking like for 38-34. Or a 34-31 type win.
That's a lot of play on that over.
I would be, Mike, with that, when you look at that over and under, that 64.5, I'd be shocked if this would be a 20s type game. I think it's
Be surprised.
More like a 30s type game because even though Lincoln Riley can't coach defense, whether he's been in Oklahoma or USC, they could score.
Try to hit you with the offensive tsunami.
Yeah,
and try to bury you with it.
Yeah, and then what's crazy when you look at the similarities, and I talked about Coach Kelly and Lincoln Riley. You look at Brian Kelly; they're both entering the 2024 season, both their third seasons. So you look at the natives get restless. So we're paying you a lot of money to win. So what's going to occur? They both had to address the defense. And I always say you never want to beat a man to replace the man. Look at both quarterbacks. Okay, and I think they're going to do fine. But Heisman Trophy winners, you're still replacing the man who I think both of those individuals are going to have success in the NFL. Look at Caleb Williams with the Bears, Jane Daniels with the Commanders in Washington. I think they're both going to have success. But you always look at what have you done for me lately, and then you look at the bowl performance of Nussmeier. Mike, you couldn't ask for anything more. What he did against Wisconsin, 31 of 45, right under 400 yards, three touchdowns. He led a 98-yard fourth-quarter drive to beat Wisconsin 35-31. And then you look at Miller Moss at USC. He completed 23 of 33 passes, 372 yards. So it's like mirror images, six touchdowns. And they won the Holiday Bowl over the Louisville Cardinals, Jeff Duncan, 42-28. So, Mike, it's unbelievable. And then, like I said, the last two Heisman Trophy winners, Jane Daniels, of course, 2023, but Caleb Williams, 2022, he returned last year. Mike, I don't know if I've ever witnessed this. And so now you look at the quarterback, you're the man replacing the obvious man. Is that because you look at the Heisman? You know, people want to put a little coin maybe on this, but Nussmeier was tied for ninth on the list of Heisman defenders. With Notre Dame's Riley Leonard. Mike, I don't know what you think of that. Would you compare Nussmeier to Riley Leonard at Notre Dame? Because
I think Nussmeier's a better player.
Okay, they both plus 2,000.
Yeah.
But then you look at Moss, odds were twice that, plus 4,000. So, Mike, you know, you want to just play a long shot. And because, you know, when you look at spread the wealth, the Heisman Trophy and all that, you have
– Jaden wasn't a favorite last
right?
year early.
You got Garrett Nussmeier and Miller Moss. Both individuals, you always say this, you never want to be the man to replace the man, whether it be like a Dan Marino or a John Elway or even Drew Brees. You know, who are you replacing? Because the expectations from the fan base. I mean, Nussmeier could play well, but he don't play defense. I mean, if you don't have the ball last, what's going to occur? The same thing if you're a USC fan in Miller Moss. So what if he plays awesome and the defense still sucks? So that's why this game's going to be intriguing tomorrow night. What defense can turn the corner and get maybe one or two significant stops? But I still think, like I said, I think, I don't know, 38-34 type game.
I think it'll be in the 30s.
34-31. I'd be disappointed, though, if LSU doesn't come out on top because I think LSU
overall they're a better team.
Has a better supporting cast.
I agree.
LSU got a better squad than USC.
It wasn't like last year where you may be faded toward Florida State having the
right,
more
the better squad,
team.
Right? Exactly. It's not like that this game, I don't think.
We'll be back with a special edition of Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike DeTillo, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister. We're live at 4500 Chapatula Street, Rouse's Markets. Come do all your Labor Day shopping right here at Rouse's. We'll be back with more sports talk right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Welcome back to a special edition of WWL Sports Talk, live from Rouse's Markets, 4500 Chapatula Street. Myself along with Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister. Come and save at Rouse's during the big Labor Day weekend sale. 8-pack count, 20-ounce Powerade drinks are only $4.97. And LaCroix sparkling water is only $3.97 per 12-pack.
You know, Deuce is here in the house. And Mike, that LSU can't afford to lose. The Natives would be restless. Five straight home openers. You know, I remember Mississippi State. We made their quarterback like a Hall of Famer. That was in Tiger Stadium.
Man, Costello, CJ. He got that on the highlight reel for the rest of his life.
But then the other game, the game before the two Florida State losses was UCLA out in L.A. Remember, that's in the hurricane that
was
hit?
Hurricane Ida.
Yeah, when that happened. So, the bottom line, I don't care if it's a shootout. If it is a shootout, because Lincoln Riley's going to score. He's never not had teams that haven't scored, whether he's at Oklahoma or USC. Now, whether you cover or not, I know Coach Kelly's saying, Deuce and Mike, can we just win? I don't care if it's 41, 42, 38, 35, whatever it might be.
And
Lincoln Riley knows that we just got, they're both thinking, we just somehow got to win this game.
Yeah, some coaches, I wonder a little bit, because the way they talk, like they got almost got coin on the game. And I get that part, but man, the one thing with Brian, he don't really talk, but Deuce.
I was going to ask you, the one thing that when you look at it, and you go back to some of those years that you lost, that quote-unquote home opener, Bobby, how many distractions? that you have. Yeah.
Well, the hurricane part is one thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But you can't control that. But, like, other distractions during the off season, I don't think that you've had a ton this year. No. I mean, there's always going to be little stuff that a coach has to deal with, but nothing that the media gets a hold of and you've got to deal with.
No, one of the worst defensive game plans, though, was Bo Pelini as trying to stop Mississippi State. That was like, what, did we practice?
Okay, they ran every crossing pattern they could find that game. They had LSU's secondary so confused.
It wasn't DBU. It was DB Poo
game.
Oh, bad. it was horrendous.
And think about the first Florida State game. As bad as LSU played, and a guy that
special
ended up being
a
top 10 pick, Malik Nabors fumbles it not once but twice, LSU has a shot.
Yeah.
But what Brian Kelly told me this, what changed my mind about Alabama to go for two was how they lost to Florida State.
Yeah. Well, without a doubt, because you think, oh, we got this and all that, or it might be an overtime, whatever, the score and all, and then it's over. I mean, but I look at Florida State's roster, and you never know with college
really
football.
Good roster last
I tell you what, that was the game, Deuce. I don't know if you watched it, but I watched all of that Florida State Georgia Tech game. And Florida State had all these players coming back. Georgia Tech whooped them.
Yeah, they got out-coached.
Out-coached on the line. Yeah. But Mike,
they were more physical.
Yes.
Oh, much more.
Without a doubt. And that was like, whoa. And that was a humbling game for Coach Norvell and Florida State.
Man, Brent Key.
Well, that's what I was about to say.
He can coach.
Look who is the head coach for Georgia Tech. I mean, look at how he wants to play. And
that was kind of old school, dude.
Well, that's exactly what it is. And I don't want to call Florida State more of a finesse, but they got beat in the line of scrimmage.
Yes. Right,
you lost the game at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
Because the quarterback didn't beat them.
No.
I mean, and both of their quarterbacks, man, Florida State and Georgia Tech.
Well, when you look at, like, because Lincoln Riley and you look at LSU's offense. But the one thing I think for sure, when you look at, like, position groups, I'd be extremely disappointed if LSU's offensive line does not come to dominate. Now, what's interesting, because you have to have everyone healthy, is Frazier healthy? Didn't he say it's going to be a game-time decision at guard?
Because Mike Edwards is
a four-year starter.
I mean, then Bordelon steps into that spot.
Yeah, no, that's a lot of responsibility there. And then you can have an inexperienced center. We all know that even at any level. Look at the Saints. Brian Della Puente. Because he couldn't help but succeed when he had Carl Nix and Jari Evans alongside him. Come on, dude. You have to make it work. So that's why I think that Frazier, you know, the two guards with LSU right now, I think it'd be so significant to really help out a young center. Because the one thing LSU has, the tackles. They have NFL tackles. Yeah. LSU probably got better tackles than the Saints. I mean, I'm not hating, you're probably right. And I ain't hating. I'm just telling you right now, you look at their prospect going forward,
probably
and
right.
Number one in the NFL.
When you say bookend, I would agree.
Well, I'd agree.
For both of them.
Yeah, bookend.
I think that left tackle there.
Yeah, Fuaga's going to be all right.
Yeah, he may be pretty special.
But when you do both of them, the bookends.
Guys,
I have to throw my hands up a little bit.
Georgia, 20-3 over Clemson. In that game in the first half, Clemson had two first downs. Two.
Well, Clemson offense sucks. Let me tell you,
that five-star quarterback,
translated.
And you know about Clemson, Mike. What was it? I think they were a double-digit underdog.
13.5. It dropped down to 10 because of ATN being suspended.
But that 13.5, that was the worst ever on the what is it, Coach Clemson? Debo.
Dabo Sweeney.
I'm thinking 49ers. Dabo. Dabo Sweeney. That's the worst he's ever been an underdog. Now, dudes, that's a coach. To me, that's not an embrace enough.
Hey, transfer portal.
Yes.
Transfer
come on.
Portal.
Hey, listen, you can take care of your own and all that, but you got to keep up with the Joneses.
Yeah.
Clemson's, they've gone the wrong direction.
You got to step in the real world with them.
Yeah.
Well, and I think when you look back at Clemson, I don't know, and I can't remember what year it was where it kind of changed for them. Because for a number of years, probably 4 or 5 years, they were – I mean, it was pretty much a foregone conclusion.
Well, when they had the Prince at quarterback with Trevor Lawrence.
Well, no, not only – even
and
before
even Tajay Boyd.
Yeah.
Even
Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
Deshaun.
And so, but, like, you were – pretty much it was a foregone conclusion that Dabo Swinney would follow Nick Saban at Alabama.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, but the last probably, what, 3 years, four years?
What have you done for him lately?
They've been almost, I don't want to call it subpar, but they haven't lived up to that top 10 type of program.
If he'd have been winning, Alabama would have wanted him instead of going after the Washington coach.
Exactly, but I'm just think about it. Think about it.
You're right.
They went after the Washington coach who has probably zero affiliation, with
no
the recruiting, with the recruiting area or anybody in that program.
But he was in the championship game last year.
But that gives you some credence. Yeah, that gives you some credence to what he can do. But if Dabo had adapted, he didn't want to adapt to the transfer portal. He wanted to just purely recruit. And he's also a coach, that if you're committed to another university or another school, he won't technically allow you to visit.
What?
Yes.
Oh. Well, that's not common sense.
Come on. Man, he ain't Lane Kiffin.
Not even Lane. I mean, other coaches say, hey, I don't care if you like that other school. If you're committed to him, if you want to visit, come on. But he won't allow you to visit.
Guys. That's why Ole Miss is relevant. Lane Kiffin, if you look at modern-day football, has done it the right way.
He'll take transfers as well, though. I mean, even a high school recruit, if you're committed.
That, I don't get that one bit.
You make it a lot tougher on your roster.
Guys, here's a crazy deal. And Virginia Tech, even Coach Saban.
They were dark horse.
They were a 13.5-point favorite over Vanderbilt.
They're losing.
At the end of the third quarter, Vanderbilt has a 20-13 lead over Virginia Tech.
And it was even worse than that.
That's in Nashville, correct?
Correct.
And that's a sellout. Vanderbilt sold that game out. That's a sellout.
Well, and it shows you how much I know. You look at dark horse. Who could be maybe put hay in the barn to be in that final 12? My number one team is the U. Coach O is back out there.
You know why I don't agree with you? I love the quarterback, Cameron Ward.
Yeah, from Washington State.
Well,
Trigger man.
And he's a guy that went – I'm on the sidelines for a Nicholls State game. He's playing for Incarnate Word. His dad comes over. He said, man, I listen to y'all all the time on WWE because he's a Texas guy.
I think he was at San Antonio High School. or somewhere in that area. Yeah.
But his dad traveled quite a bit, and he's like, man, I listen to WWL all the time. Oh, okay. And he was at Incarnate Word, and then he transferred to Washington State.
His offensive coordinator left and went up to Washington State.
And then he goes to the U.
Yeah, so when you look at, because that's always intriguing. Everybody likes a long shot. Who can maybe make a little coin with to get in the postseason? And those two teams are the three teams that I was, or I should say now four. Now I'm going with four. I'm telling you, I think University of Miami, I think because the quarterback's coming back at Utah.
Are those your wild card teams?
Yeah, wild card.
Okay.
Like Utah Utes, their quarterback's coming back from his knee injury.
What have you been there, 7 years?
It seems like he's been there forever.
Yeah, 6 or 7.
And then the other two, though, they're both struggling. It was North Carolina State against West Carolina. Now, they pulled it out, but for three quarters, Western Carolina was hanging with them.
They looked every bit as good.
So I was thinking, like, North Carolina State and Virginia Tech, who's now losing to Vanderbilt. Mm. So I don't know. You take a shot at listen, all I know is right now, I think if you're an Ole Miss fan – or if you're an LSU fan, they taking the approach, damn it, we got to be in the Final 12. I don't know about no Final Four. We got to at least be in the postseason.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
Well, you ain't got to worry about that first game. That Furman, Deuce and I talked about that. That's not
Everybody will get to play.
Yeah, exactly, in that particular spot. We'll be back with more of a special edition of WWL Sports Talk live from Rouse's Markets, 4500 Chapatula Street. Come on by and visit us. Bobby J, along with Deuce McAllister, myself, will be here till 4 o'clock this afternoon talking a lot college and pro football. And we'll be back after this break on the Big 870 WWL. We're back here on a special edition of WWL Sports Talk live from Rouse's Markets, 4500 Chapatula Street. Myself along with Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister. Come on by and shop for all your Labor Day weekend supplies here. If it's drinks, food specials all across the board. And Rouse's is the official supermarket of the New Orleans Saints. Bob, one of the things I want to bring up when we're talking about LSU is that last year, and I'd say the last couple of years, special teams ain't been special for LSU. It'd been El Lazio. But you know who's really good on special teams? The Trojans of USC.
Oh, yes.
Last year, they blocked three punts, and they led the nation in punt return average with Zachariah Barnes. Okay, you can't lose this game because, Connor, you screwed a pooch on special
teams. Oh, but that could happen.
Can't do it.
Because it's happened before, but you cannot afford it to happen. That Zachariah, Mike.
Zachariah Barnes.
That he's like preseason All-American.
You know what? I kicked the ball out of bounds. And I ain't letting him touch it.
And I heard that Coach Kelly said they're going to utilize two punters. That depending,
Louisiana Tech punters, the guy.
But no, but Mike, they said.
I know what he says.
That he said depending on the field position, who they're going to kick to. But the bottom line is.
Don't kick it to Zachariah
Barnes.
You
got a directional kick. Yeah, and exactly. Well, why would you give him an opportunity to return it? But that cat, he can run. And watch, you'll see with Lincoln Riley, like the jet sweeps or like a screenplay. And you better make the tackle. You cannot afford to miss one tackle. He might take it to the house.
Bob, he was second in the nation in the 220 and 440 in high school in California. All I know is they got fast dudes in the state of California.
Look, all the people. They got so many millions of people there. That's kind of like.
Maybe 100 miles around the school, and that's it. That's as far as you have to recruit.
And then when you look at that type player, you know, you can't coach speed. Either you're fast or you're not fast. Now, you have different levels of speed. But I can tell you this. What you really want is a football player that can run track. You don't want necessarily a track player trying to play football. Remember the outstanding hurdler, didn't I? This old
Ronaldo
folks,
Nehemiah.
Ronaldo Nehemiah with the 49ers. Boy, he can run, but he sure didn't want to get hit or nothing.
Oh,
and he didn't want to go across the middle. He was with the 49ers. Now, he was all-world. It'd be like Carl Lewis. I can't see Carl Lewis taking a hit from Houston. But I can tell you what. You know who I play with? Who was a track guy and didn't play football in high school because his high school wasn't big enough. Mark Super Duper. Setting all records with Dan Marino and Mark Clayton, the Marks brothers. Now, that was a track player that could play football. But just because you're fast, that doesn't mean you can play football.
But you
get a fast guy that can play football, watch out. Deuce, every team will want a player that has that ability.
And he's not only fast, but he's quick.
And he's tough.
And so
he breaks tackles.
And he's a little bitty guy. He's not a big guy at all. But we grew up watching a guy. He was the fastest man in the world, Bob Hayes.
Bullet Bob Hayes.
And he's in Pro Football's Hall of Fame.
The Dallas Cowgirls.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you talk about a smaller player and he's fast. You know, you have that little man syndrome where he's going to be tough. He's going to be physical.
Yeah.
I mean, because everything he's done, he's had to fight. You know, he has to fight as far as to show that he is tougher or big enough just with the older, not necessarily older, but bigger players. And so a lot of those guys, when you talk about the track speed, though, Bobby, it translates.
Mm-hmm.
But the question becomes, is he tough enough? If he's tough enough and he's fast, he can help himself.
Yeah, you always have a job because, you know, like I have some parents that might come up to me, oh, my kid loves football. And, you know, he might be playing Little League and all that. Then I look at the mom and dad, and then they like 5'8", 5'6". And I'm like thinking, well, you know, I'm glad he likes football. And, you know, he probably will be small. I'm just thinking this, not telling him this. But one thing, if you're small, you can't be small and slow. If you're small, you got to be fast. if you're fast, no, you have a chance. But you could be as tough as you want to be. But if you're small and slow, you're not going to play.
If he's small and slow, you better be at least 300 pounds.
As wide as tall.
Yeah, I mean, because if you're trying to play a skill position and you're slow and small,
you have to do something else.
Deuce, you brought that up about being tough. This was a few years ago. I don't know why they asked me, but I got to do the Texas track meet, state track meet.
Mm-hmm.
And who was running? The A-chan.
Oh, yeah.
Now, he changed his name. He was A-chan. Now he's A-chan. Now, with it. But, man, he's a little bitty guy. Yeah. But he told me one thing that separates me from the rest, I'm a tough dude.
Yeah.
I can take a hit. And I remember they play LSU. And they, it was,
what was his hamstring? Wasn't he going to play? And then he played the average over 6 yards a carry.
He's still running because they laid a glove on him in that game.
And then look what he did. How they countered him with the Dolphins.
Yeah, I think for him to have the type of success that he wants, if you can, don't make him an every down back.
No, can't
put him in the slot. Put him in the slot, and then allow him to be a third down guy. And he's under. You know, I had a chance to call a couple of his games out at A&M. He is quick enough where he can get outside and then get outside. I mean, to be able to run inside.
And bounce it.
And be able to bounce it.
Yeah.
Some of the smaller guys, they all want to live on the outside. And if that's the case, then I'm going to just, hey, force everything outside, funnel you back inside. But, I mean, his biggest thing will always be the injuries, the nicks. You know, can I take care of myself well enough to where I'm available for 17 games?
Think about it. Last year with the Dolphins, he averaged 7.3 yards a carry. And he missed 8 games, though, with an injury. But in the games he played and he rushed for over 800 yards, he averaged 7.3 yards a touch. Man.
Man, we wish Jamal Williams would ever do that with the Saints.
That'll play.
Man, that is big time when you're averaging over 7 yards carry. And I know Mike McDaniel wants to see him healthy.
And Mike, looking at the game, it's amazing. You know, I was saying the similarities between LSU and USC. We're just looking, because they're getting paid the big bucks now. Much is given, much is required. Brian Kelly and Lincoln Riley. Like I said, they're both entering the 2024 season, their third year, and both of them at their prospective universities. But I didn't realize this. Coach Kelly is 20-7 with an SEC championship game appearance, while Lincoln Riley is 19-8. 27-19-8 now with a loss to Tulane in the 2023 Cotton Bowl. We all watched that game.
That's the separation between the two.
How that was a shootout. But, Mike, that's almost – they're identical as far as records. And so I think both schools, they're patient enough where, I think we got the right coach. USC might say, okay, Lincoln Riley, we know you could score, but we got to do some of the defense. Same thing with Coach Kelly. Okay, we think we like the direction our team's going, but we can't be in shootout-type games. Because the one thing I think more about LSU, then we always pride ourselves in a kick-ass defense. You know, DBU is not DBU anymore. Well, what are we, wide receiver U now?
No, I
think we've turned from DBU to wide receiver U.
Ain't going to change anytime soon.
And Mike, when you think about that, though, how – listen, you want to be entertained. You want to score points. But LSU is really not going to do anything, I think, until their defense, it has to be better. It has to. And I
Could
think
it be that, worse?
No, it can't be worse. The same thing with USC. Their defense can't be worse. There's nowhere to go but up. And I think now as a fan base, now you want to win a national championship, and you look how long it took LSU, the 21st century, under Saban and Les Miles, how dominant. Whenever you're winning a championship, look at A&M. They ain't won a damn championship since the 30s or early 1930s. So just saying is easier said than done. But the one thing, what I look at, where LSU's at, or USC with the fan base, like I said earlier, they going like, well, for us to be confident and we're training in the right direction, we got to make the damn playoffs. Now, I don't know what's going to happen about winning a national championship. But, Mike, as I was saying, the money that you're paying Coach Kelly and the USC is paying Lincoln Riley, they say, damn it, we got to be in the top 12 when all said and done.
Yeah, I think the 2019 team with Coach O gave us a glimpse of the future of what college football is going to look about. You had a great quarterback. Man, you could score a lot of points. They could run the football. They were physical up front along the offensive line. But their defense was middle of the road. But it wasn't triple digits.
No.
It wasn't 100.
Yeah, you can't be – you've got to – I mean, really, honestly, if you want to be 40-ish or below, you know, you don't have to be top 10.
But dudes, like you were saying, points allowed, that's not as bad as USC. USC gave up 34.5 points. That's 118th. Well, LSU gave up 28. So can you get that in the low 20s? You know how we always say with the Saints, okay, can we give up, 19, 20 points a game? Well, I'm looking at LSU. Instead of giving up 28, can we give up like 23? 4 or 5 points
then
less.
Then you're a double-digit winning team.
Yes.
Same thing I could say about Ole Miss.
Yeah.
If they only give up 23, 24 points, would that offense man, what Lane Kiffin's got, they're going to score. They might lose a couple games in a shootout. But my thing about it is, if you can hold a team in the kind of 22 to 24 range,
you're
a double-digit winning team.
Well, you should win.
I agree.
I mean, you should win, Mike.
You should.
If USC scores 23-24, I'd be like, I'm almost bet my house. For sure LSU's going to win. Because if they'd help OU, I don't think they will.
I don't think they will either.
I think they'd be more like in the low 30s at best, maybe mid-30s. But if they would hold them to that, shame on LSU if they wouldn't win if they held USC to 23-24 points.
We'll be back with more of a special edition of WWL Sports Talk live from Rouse's Markets, 4500 Chapatula Street. Come on by and visit us. Bobby J., Deuce McAllister here. Come do your shopping for all your Labor Day specials right here at Rouse. We'll be back with more sports talk right after this break. We're finishing up here at our number one on a special edition of WWL Sports Talk live from Rouse's Markets, 4500 Chapatula Street here in New Orleans. Myself along with Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister. Come shop and save at Rouse's during the big Labor Day sale. USDA prime beef whole brisket, only $3.97 a pound. Save $3.02 per pound on that prime brisket. And I know one guy who likes the brisket, and that's Luke Augusta, our producer, coordinator, supervisor, man. Luke, I take care of him on the prime rib part and the brisket. So keep your dial tuned in to the Big 870, and we'll have a lot more sports talk. We're taking this till 4 o'clock this afternoon right here at Rouse's Markets on 4500 Chapatula Street in New Orleans. We'll be back with more sports talk. We're back here on a special edition of WWL Sports Talk live from Rouse's Markets, 4500 Chapatula Street. Myself along with Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister. Come on by and shop for all your Labor Day weekend supplies here for his drinks, food specials all across the board. And Rouse's is the official supermarket of the New Orleans Saints. Bob, one of the things I want to bring up when we're talking about LSU is that last year, and I'd say the last couple years, special teams ain't been special for LSU. It'd been El Lazio. But you know who's really good on special teams? The Trojans of USC.
Oh, yes.
Last year, they blocked three punts, and they led the nation in punt return average with Zachariah Barnes. Okay, you can't lose this game because, Connor, you screwed a pooch on special
teams. Oh, but that could happen.
Can't do it.
Because it's happened before, but you cannot afford it to happen. That Zachariah, Mike.
Zachariah Barnes.
That he's like preseason All-American.
You know what? I kicked the ball out of bounds. And I ain't letting him touch it.
And I heard that Coach Kelly said they're going to utilize two punters. That depending,
Louisiana Tech punter's the guy.
But no, but Mike, they said.
I know what he says.
That he said, depending on the field position, who they're going to kick to. But the bottom line is.
Don't kick it to Zachariah
Barnes. Directional kick, yeah. And exactly. Well, why would you give him an opportunity to return it? But that cat, he can run. And watch, you'll see with Lincoln Riley, like the jet sweeps. Or like a screenplay. And you better make the tackle. You cannot afford to miss one tackle. He might take it to the house.
Bob, he was second in the nation in the 220 and 440 in high school in California. All I know is they got fast dudes in the state of California.
Look, all the people. They got so many millions of people there. That's kind of like.
Maybe 100 miles around the school, and that's it. That's as far as you have to recruit.
And then when you look at that type player. You know, you can't coach speed. Either you're fast or you're not fast. Now, you have different levels of speed. But I can tell you this. What you really want is a football player that can run track. You don't want necessarily a track player trying to play football. Remember the outstanding hurdler, didn't I? This old
Ronaldo
folks,
Nehemiah.
Ronaldo Nehemiah with the 49ers. Well, he can run, but he sure didn't want to get hit or nothing. And he didn't want to go across the middle. He was with the 49ers. Now, he was all-world. It'd be like Carl Lewis. I can't see Carl Lewis taking a hit from Houston. But I can tell you what. You know who I played with? Who was a track guy and didn't play football in high school because his high school wasn't big enough. Mark Super Duper. Setting all records with Dan Marino and Mark Clayton, the Marks brothers. Now, that was a track player that could play football. But just because you're fast, that doesn't mean you can play football.
But you
got a fast guy that can play football, watch out. Deuce, every team will want a player that has that ability.
And he's not only fast, but he's quick.
And he's tough.
And so
he breaks tackles.
And he's a little bitty guy. He's not a big guy at all. But we grew up watching a guy. He was the fastest man in the world, Bob Hayes.
Bullet Bob Hayes.
And he's in Pro Football's Hall of Fame.
The Dallas Cowgirls.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, you talk about a smaller player and he's fast. You know, you have that little man syndrome where he's going to be tough. He's going to be physical. Yeah. I mean, because everything he's done, he's had to fight. You know, he has to fight as far as to show that he is tougher or big enough just with the older, not necessarily older, but bigger players. And so a lot of those guys, when you talk about the track speed, though, Bobby, it translates. Mm-hmm. But the question becomes, is he tough enough? If he's tough enough and he's fast, he can help himself.
Yeah, you always have a job because, you know, like I have some parents that might come up to me, oh, my kid loves football. And, you know, he might be playing Little League and all that. Then I look at the mom and dad, and then they like 5'8", 5'6". And I'm, like, thinking, well, you know, I'm glad he likes football. And, you know, he probably will be small. I'm just thinking this, not telling him this. But one thing, if you're small, you can't be small and slow. If you're small, you got to be fast. If you're fast, no, you have a chance. But you could be as tough as you want to be. But if you're small and slow, you're not going to play.
If he's small and slow, you better be at least 300 pounds.
As wide as tall.
Yeah, I mean, because if you're trying to play a skill position and you're slow and small,
you have to do something else.
Deuce, you brought that up about being tough. This was a few years ago. I don't know why they asked me, but I got to do the Texas track meet, state track meet. Mm-hmm. And who was running? The H-Han.
Oh, yeah.
Now he changed his name. He was H-Han. Now he's H-Han. Now with it. But, man, he's a little bitty guy. But he told me one thing that separates me from the rest, I'm a tough dude.
Yeah.
I can take a hit. And I remember they play LSU. And they
– What was his hamstring? Wasn't he going to play?
Hamstring.
And then he played the average over 6 yards a carry?
He's still running because they laid a glove on him in that game.
And then look what he did, how they countered him with the Dolphins.
Yeah, I think for him to have the type of success that he wants, if you can – don't make him an every down back.
No, can't.
Put him in the slot. Put him in the slot and then allow him to be a third down guy. And he's under, you know, I had a chance to call a couple of his games out at A&M. He is quick enough where he can get outside and then get outside. I mean, to be able to run inside.
And bounce it.
And be able to bounce it.
Yeah.
Some of the smaller guys, they all want to live on the outside. And if that's the case, then I'm going to just, hey, force everything outside, funnel you back inside. But, I mean, his biggest thing will always be the injuries, the nicks. You know, can I take care of myself well enough to where I'm available for 17 games?
Think about it. Last year with the Dolphins, he averaged 7.3 yards a carry. And he missed
right.
8 games, yeah. Though, with an injury. But in the games he played and he rushed for over 800 yards, he averaged 7.3 yards a touch. Man,
we wish Jamal Williams would do that with the Saints.
That'll play.
Man, that is big time when you're averaging over 7 yards carry. And I know Mike McDaniel wants to see him healthy.
And Mike, looking at the game, it's amazing. You know, I was saying the similarities between LSU and USC. We're just looking, because they're getting paid the big bucks now. Much is given, much is required. Brian Kelly and Lincoln Riley. Like I said, they're both entering the 2024 season, their third year, you know, and both of them at their prospective universities. But I didn't realize this. Coach Kelly is 20-7 with an SEC championship game appearance, while Lincoln Riley is 19-8. 20-7, 19-8 now with a loss to Tulane in the 2023 Cotton Bowl. We all watched that game.
That's the separation between the two.
How that was a shootout. And, Mike, that's almost – they're identical as far as records. And so I think both schools, they're patient enough where, you know, I think we got the right coach. USC might say, okay, Lincoln Riley, we know you could score, but we got to do some of the defense. Same thing with Coach Kelly. Okay, we think we like the direction our team's going, but we can't be in shootout-type games. Because the one thing I think more about LSU, then we always pride ourselves in a kick-ass defense. You know, DBU is not DBU no more. Well, what are we, wide receiver U now?
No, oh, I think that ain't no question about that.
I think we've turned from DBU to wide receiver U.
That ain't going to change anytime soon.
And Mike, when you think about that, though, how – listen, you want to be entertained. You want to score points. But LSU is really not going to do anything, I think, until their defense – it has to be better. It has to – and I
could
think
it be worse?
No, it can't be worse. The same thing with USC. Their defense can't be worse. There's nowhere to go but up. And I think now as a fan base, now you want to win a national championship, and you look how long it took LSU, the 21st century, under Saban and Les Miles, how dominant. Whenever you're winning a championship, look at A&M. They ain't won a damn championship since the 30s or early 1930s. So just saying is hard, easier said than done. But the one thing, what I look at, where LSU's at, or USC with the fan base, like I said earlier, they going like, well, for us to be confident and we're training in the right direction, we've got to make the damn playoffs. Now, I don't know what's going to happen about winning a national championship. But, Mike, as I was saying, the money that you paying Coach Kelly and the USC is paying Lincoln Riley, they say, damn it, we got to be in the top 12 when all said and done.
Yeah, I think the 2019 team with Coach O gave us a glimpse of the future of what college football is going to look about. You had a great quarterback. Man, you could score a lot of points. They could run the football. They were physical up front along the offensive line. But their defense was middle of the road. But it wasn't triple digits.
No.
It wasn't 100.
Yeah, you can't be – you've got to – I mean, really, honestly, if you want to be 40-ish or below, you know, you don't have to be top 10.
Well, but dudes like you're saying, I don't know, points allowed, that's not as bad as USC. USC gave up 34.5 points. That's 118. Well, LSU gave up 28. So can you get that in the low 20s? You know how we always say with the Saints, okay, can we give up, I don't know, 19, 20 points a game? Well, I'm looking at LSU. Instead of giving up 28, can we give up like 23? 4 or 5 points
then
less.
Then you're a double-digit winning team.
Yes.
If you only give up. Same thing I could say about Ole Miss.
Yeah.
If they only give up 23, 24 points, with that offense, man, what Lane Kiffin's got, they're going to score. They might lose a couple games in a shootout. But my thing about it is if you can hold a team in the – kind of 22 to 24 range.
Yeah.
You're a double-digit winning team.
Well, you should win.
I agree.
Yeah. I mean, you should win, Mike.
You should.
If USC scores 23, 24, I'd be like, I'd have almost bet my house. For sure LSU's going to win. Because if they'd help OU, I don't think they will.
I don't think they will either.
No, I think they'd be more like in the low 30s at best, maybe mid-30s. But if they would hold on to that, shame on LSU if they wouldn't win if they held USC to 23, 24 points.
We'll be back with more of a special edition of WWL Sports Talk live from Rouse's Markets, 4500 Chapatula Street. Come on by and visit us. Bobby J., Deuce McAllister here. Come do your shopping for all your Labor Day specials right here at Rouse. We'll be back with more sports talk right after this break. We're finishing up here at our number one on a special edition of WWL Sports Talk live from Rouse's Markets, 4500 Chapatula Street here in New Orleans. Myself along with Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister. Come shop and save at Rouse's during the big Labor Day sale. USDA prime beef whole brisket, only $3.97 a pound. Save $3.02 per pound on that prime brisket. And I know one guy who likes the brisket, and that's Luke Augusta, our producer, coordinator, supervisor, man. Luke, I take care of him on the prime rib part in the brisket. So keep your dial tuned in to the Big 870, and we'll have a lot more sports talk. We're taking this till 4 o'clock this afternoon right here at Rouse's Markets on 4500 Chapatula Street in New Orleans. We'll be back with more sports talk. We're finishing up here at our number one on a special edition of WWL Sports Talk live from Rouse's Markets, 4500 Chapatula Street here in New Orleans. Myself along with Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister. Come shop and save at Rouse's during the big Labor Day sale. USDA prime beef whole brisket, only $3.97 a pound. Save $3.02 per pound on that prime brisket, and I know one guy who likes the brisket, and that's Luke Gustav, producer, coordinator, supervisor, man. Luke, I take care of him on the prime rib part in the brisket. So keep your dial tuned in to the Big 870, and we'll have a lot more sports talk. We're taking this till 4 o'clock this afternoon right here at Rouse's Markets on 4500 Chapatula Street in New Orleans. We'll be back with more sports talk.